God bless you, Brother Joseph.
God bless you.
Nice to be here with you again, ready to answer some questions for some brethren.
Yes,
ready?
As much as we can, Lord help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we are together here to record in answers to some of your questions, dear brethren, that you've sent in. We apologize if there is any noise that you'll hear in this recording, in this place where we are. If you hear any noise, sorry. But we do hope the recording will be clear. So, Brother Joseph, many brethren lately have been writing to us expressing their desire to get out of the New World Order areas. And actually, many of them said that the Lord has been speaking to them and showing them visions, dreams, or speaking to them directly that they need to get out. And we praise the Lord for that, dear brethren. God bless you that you want to be obedient to the Lord and you do want to get out. Now, Brother Joseph, these brethren have been writing, asking some practical, specific questions about their moving out of these New World Order areas, U.S. and Europe. And this is what this recording is about. I would like to ask you some specific counsel and questions that these brethren sent in. And if you, by God's grace and help, could please answer.
Amen. Lord, help us.
So, they have been writing, actually with specific countries, asking counsel if such and such country is good as a place to move out. Like to move out of the New World Order areas and to move into this country. And I would like to tell you these countries. Maybe we can take them one by one and you could answer these brethren specifically if you think such and such country is good. Therefore, I have one question from a dear sister. She's asking, is Canada a good place to move to?
Well, Canada, of course, is better than the United States. Or even though Canada goes wherever the United States go, but nevertheless, it's not as wicked. And Canada is not Babylon, the whore of Revelation 17 that has to be destroyed. So, yeah, Canada is a little better, very cold. Okay, but, I mean, it's up to you. It's better than the United States. Now, of course, it is the West. So everywhere in the West is going to, it's going to form a block, okay, which in Daniel chapter 11 is called the King of the King of the South is called. He's going to make war with the Antichrist. So Canada...
Who's the King of the South?
King of the South is Israel and America, number one.
What do you mean Israel and America? They are two different geographically positions.
No, it's just that the Jews control America through the banks, through the media, through the TV, etc. So the America has to follow Israel because the Jews control the American Senate and the American politics. Now Obama is trying to get away from that, but he will not be able to get away very much because if Israel starts a war, whether Obama likes it or not, he will have to back up Israel. If nothing else, because America cannot let Russia, who's backing the Muslim, take over everything, you understand? So Israel and America is one thing, really.
So the King of the South, which you say is Israel, will make war, according to the Bible, with the Antichrist. And when you say King of the South, Israel, you mean backing up by America, so being one thing.
Right. Israel and America, in Bible prophecy, they're going to be warring together against the King of the North, which according to the prophecy, Ezekiel 38, from verse 1 to 5 and 6, it's going to be... Gog and Magog, that's the Antichrist from Magog. Magog is Russia. In most of the Bible dictionary, Magog is Russia. And then in this block, there is going to be Gomer. And Gomer, you see the old Bible maps, that's Europe. And then he gives the name of Iran, Libya, Turkey, etc., and Ethiopia, which is Sudan, Eritrea today. So all these Muslim countries, Russia and Europe and China, of course, and Pakistan and all those Muslims, they're going to unite to make an incredible big force led by the Antichrist, understand? And that's called the King of the North in Daniel chapter 11, starting from verse 21, the rise of the Antichrist. They're going to make war against the King of the South. King of the South is Israel, of course, with the backing of America, understand?
So that's why you're saying Canada maybe is not the greatest idea because it's still part of the West.
Well, Canada is definitely better than United States, okay? They are not going... In fact, you can check today in the news, Canada, they're not having half the problem the United States have. because they're not as wicked, they're not as materialistic. The problem in the United States is that they are leading the world into perversions, pornography, homosexuality, worship of money. That's the United States. The dollar is from America, the dollar is ruling the world. That's where New York is. New York is the capital of the capitalistic world, etc., etc. So Canada is definitely much better than the United States, if you don't mind the cold. Otherwise, you have to move down to the tropics.
Okay, good. Somebody else wrote in saying they're thinking about Uruguay. What counsel do you have about Uruguay?
Yeah, I was going to go to Uruguay because it's...
You are?
Yeah, because when we left Europe, we are, as you know, a missionary group from Europe. We are Europeans. And I was going to go to Uruguay because they don't have any financial problem, they don't have any debts, it's a small country, it's rich, etc., etc. But then, kind of when meditating and praying about it, I began to discover interesting things, and I believe the New World Order has a foothold in the country. And if you want to go there and hide under the snow and under the nose of the Antichrist, okay, you can go. But Uruguay, it seems to me, is possibly the number one Antichrist country in South America. Now, South America, we fell from the Lord. It's a good place to, as a refuge in the end time. But Uruguay, we decided not to go because of the strong Antichrist presence in the country. I believe if ever the microchip and the mark of the beast gets in South America, that would be the first place.
So you would not suggest Uruguay?
Well, you have to count the cost. It's like, I believe that's good. I didn't want to go because I preach the gospel and I want to be free as much as possible because I preach the gospel over the world through the internet. And I didn't want to be persecuted before the time. I've always been persecuted. My years of missionary life and preaching, the prophesying, I've always been persecuted. I'm persecuted now in many ways. That's why my work is kind of catacomb. I thought I was going to have early persecution there. So in my case, I decided not to go there. So in fact, if you check the religiosity statistics in South America, in fact, all over the world, Uruguay is one of the lowest. The less religious, the less Christians, because, those guys are doing a good job in de-Christianizing the country.
I remember when we were discussing about Uruguay, you were saying that it's a country without debt. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, very good thing, yeah. But it's a very good thing, but it's without debt because those guys want to have the hands free. It's kind of the Switzerland of South America. So they just paid off all the debts some few years ago. And it's a rich country and everything, and they don't have debts. How come they don't have debts? Because, the Antichrist, the New World Order's people, they're right there. And they don't want to destroy the country. They want their little refuge, so to speak, to be rich. But I expect a lot of Antichrist things happening there. However, I give you the counsel, what I discovered, what I found out. But I want to make it clear, it's like I'm not suggesting you go to Canada or it's like you have to go to the Lord and ask the Lord. It's not my place to tell you what country you should go. That's the Lord's place. He has to reveal to you either through dreams, vision, or through... He will either give you supernatural revelation or he will use your brain. That's why God has given us a brain, so sometimes we can use it, which is... The brain is one of the least used talents the Lord has given us. So my rule is simple. In absence of revelations... Okay, the Lord doesn't give me a scripture. The Lord doesn't give me a revelation. Then I use my brain. Okay, next, after the first thing that the Lord speaks to you is through the Holy Spirit, number one. Okay, then number two is the written word, the Bible. Through that, you can double check if it's the Holy Spirit or the devil. Because the devil comes as a Holy Spirit, okay? In disguise. So with the Bible, that's why you need to study the Bible. With the Bible, you know if the leading of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit is from the Holy Spirit or from the unholy spirit. Okay, the Bible is your measuring stick. Okay, so number one and number two. But in absence of revelation, dreams, vision, and direct Bible guidances, okay, the Bible is not going to say go to South America. It's just not in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit might show you. You open the map and say, okay, I feel led to go to South America, to go to South Africa, or whatever. Okay, but then, in absence of revelations, guidance of the Holy Spirit, a revelation by the scriptures, you must use your brain, okay, your carnal mind, okay.
In what way use my brain?
See, the carnal mind is a bad connotation. Usually the devil uses it. But I tell you, God can use our carnal mind for his glory too, understand? Like if you read the epistle of Paul, it's all his intelligence. You know, his carnal intelligence mixed with the revelation of God. And there is nothing wrong with our carnal mind if he's led by the Holy Spirit. We use the carnal mind all the time. Understand? So don't be afraid to use your brain to move logically. Because you see...
In what way use your brain to move logically? Specifically, practically?
Yeah, you have to counsel with your brethren. You have to get godly counsel. It's like you have to use... Your common sense. God uses both your common sense and your uncommon sense. It's like you cannot just move always by revelations and prophecy, because you don't get them all the time. You don't always get a prophecy to marry a certain girl. And like in absence of a revelation to marry the girl or not, you need to use your brain. I mean, how is she behaving? How is she a Christian? Is she a missionary or not? Is she a believer or not? If he's not a believer, don't even think about it. So it's called godly counsel. The whole book of Proverbs, you can read the Proverbs. I suggest you read one every morning. That's what there are 31, one for every day of the month. The book of Proverbs is all about counsel. With wise counsel you shall make war. So counsel with your family, Christian family. Like if somebody doesn't have the Holy Spirit or is off the track, don't counsel with them. Don't counsel with the wrong people. Don't counsel with people that want to follow the Lord. Don't counsel with Christians who are living and walking in disobedience. Don't counsel with Christians who don't want to go evangelize. Don't counsel with believers who are sitting around the warming up church benches. Counsel with those who are fruits in the Lord, with those who have the Holy Spirit, with those who want to live and die for Christ. So I repeat, number one is the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Bible, to check if it's really the Holy Spirit. Now, in absence of these three, you have to use your brain, you have to use your wisdom, you have to use your knowledge, you have to use your common sense and counsel with your immediate spiritual family, which is not necessarily your carnal family. Okay, we all have a carnal brain, a carnal mind, which usually leads us off the track. You have to make sure that you bring your carnal mind in subjection to Christ. You understand? You cannot get rid of your carnal mind. It's there. It's flesh. But what you can do, you can put it under your feet and say, carnal mind, shut up and listen to Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There have been other different brethren that have sent in a bunch of other countries, Peru, Africa, New Zealand, Australia. So I was actually thinking, if you, since I know you've been a missionary, so therefore you have a lot of experience in these 40 years of missionary life, in relocating, in checking different countries, different continents, actually. So I'd like to ask you, if you could give us a general counsel. I know you tell the brethren they need to specifically ask the Lord, of course, but you as a brother, and as a missionary for 40 years, could you give a general counsel of what countries you suggest would be good to go to, and what countries you suggest it actually wouldn't be good to go to for the brethren who want to get out of U.S. and Europe?
Okay, and some of them are asking about what?
Somebody was asking about Australia, somebody else about New Zealand, somebody else about Africa, somebody else about Peru.
Okay, so where do we start? Australia?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Australia, again, is the same situation like Canada. It's the West, and whatever happens to the West, it will happen to them. They are kind of in the same boat. Okay, it's a bad boat, you know. It's very materialistic, very perverted, and not Christians. So Australia, it definitely is better than the United States. However, I expect a lot of natural disaster there, because the country is not blessed, because the politicians are, as usual, they're Antichrist, the non-believers. Okay, the Gillard, the Prime Minister of Australia, went on the news on TV saying the end of the world has come. The Maya were right. 21st of December this year, 2012, the end of the world. I mean, it's like they're really... I think the devil is trying to use these guys to cry wolf, wolf, so when the true prophets will warn the sheep that nobody believes anybody anymore. So anyway... Medvedev of Russia is an, he announced that there are aliens among us. So a lot of things that happen, signs of the times, okay? So what am I saying? Australia, it's okay, it's better than the United States. Just be careful, though, because I expect the mark of the beast, the microchip, the stuff to be implemented pretty soon. So be ready to, like, you can go there, but don't grow roots too much, because you might have to move. New Zealand, I don't know New Zealand very much, but I understand it's a very Christian country, very hated by the New World Order, and it's New Zealand seems to be like a good place, all right? Talking about the West, okay? And then, of course, there's a bunch of islands in the Pacific Ocean, the area around Australia, etc. So I cannot go down country by country. I don't have that kind of a knowledge. But I'm just telling you, as long as you get out of the United States, almost any place is better. Don't go to Europe. Europe is another antichrist place, just as bad as North America, the United States, so don't go to Europe. So that's Australia. What's the next?
Australia, New Zealand. Next was Africa.
Okay, Africa, well, it's a lot of chaos in Africa, because when the Muslims realized that that the millions, I think the statistic were about 6 million Muslims were getting converted every year to Christianity, they completely went schizophrenic. And now that's why they're throwing bombs in the church, they're killing the Christian, because that's how Islam gets spread, just by killing. And so be careful, like places like Nigeria, Kenya, etc., they're going to be problems, okay? They're going to be, wherever there is a remarkable Muslim presence, expect problems, terrorism, killing, etc. Now, the classic place in Africa is it's South Africa, you know, the bottom country in the south. South Africa, it's a Christian country, and I don't remember the statistic, 90% blacks and 10% white. However, the problem there is a lot of crime, and the black really hates the white because they've been oppressed for so long. So the capital, we have a brother there, a missionary, Paul, from the United States, and he is married, they have children, and he said Pretoria is the safest place, that's the capital. Pretoria is the place where it's full of police because there are all the embassies, etc. So that's the safest place. But there are other cities around the country which are not very safe. You have to be very careful because houses get assaulted and the thieves jump in and they steal everything. So you have to be careful for that. Other than that, Pretoria would be like a safe place to go. However, that's the problem that will happen, there's going to be a lot of crime there. But because it's a Christian country, it's going to be a balance, okay? So it's a relative good place to go.
So out of all Africa continent, South Africa is the only country you would recommend?
Listen, again, the Lord didn't reveal to me, didn't give me a list of country by country. I'm just going on the overall, so I cannot give too much guidance, which I don't have. I can give you the little wisdom the Lord has been giving me. And when something I don't know, I'll tell you, I just don't know. So I don't know country by country in Africa that way you should go. I'm telling you, before you go to a country, you can go on the internet and check the crime rate. For example, you can type, Kenya crime rate, and they will tell you in comparison with other places. You have to research. So whatever place you decide to go, because it's not for me to tell you where to go. You go to the Lord, and the Lord will tell you where to go. It's not my place. Because if you go to the wrong place, you cannot blame me. I can share my experience. I can give you some of the wisdom God has given me. But I don't count on me to tell you where to go, okay?
Okay. What about South America? What are the potential countries where people could pray about moving in? From South America?
Okay, South America, well, as you know very well, we were in Europe last year and we moved out, and the Lord told us to come to South America because here is going to be an area like a refuge. Now, this area is, it's kind of very much backwards, it's like third world here, most of South America, okay? And with Brazil being the richest, okay? did a lot of factory with cars and everything, and they're like, I understand, so 40% white, 60% black or something like that.
That is something actually that you were telling in other classes to the brethren to keep in mind, if they're white, not to go to places where they're black, no?
Yeah, exactly. I want to thank you for bringing that up. Like, if you come from Europe, or like we did, or from United States, and you are like white like we are, man. I have my young wife, she's blonde, and I have 6 children, they're all super white and everything. And well, you have to be careful. Some places are very dangerous. For example, here in Peru, there is a lot of crime, and they really single out the whites, and they think that the whites are all filthy rich. And well, no, that's not the case, of course. But that's what they seem to think. Of course, there's a lot of poverty, and they have this ideology, communist ideology, that they are entitled, this Robin Hood, that they can rob the hood and take away. You know, they think they have a right to use violently steal everything you have, according to the classic Marxist doctrines. So you have to pray for God's protection for that. So here, for example, in Peru and other places in South America, it's like you find a lot of the mentality. It's a communist mentality that they think they can attack, they can assault, they can beat you up, even kill you, because after all, you're a selfish rich, you've been exploiting them. Of course, we know that's not always the case, but you have to be careful. So the counsel is this, the bottom line is this. You have to be very careful to go to places where people are kind of brown or black. For example, in Peru, like almost everybody is brown or dark. Is dark, and there are very few white. So you stick out very much.
So any other counsel about South American countries in South America?
Yeah, come in there. So places like Venezuela, for example, there is more crime than here, Brazil. It depends where you go. There are cities like Sao Paulo, Rio de Janeiro. They're very perverted, with a very, very, very high crime rate. Don't go to those cities. But I understand we have some friends in Argentina. They told us that there are also a lot of cities in Brazil which are safe, and there's no crime. So you have to investigate. So if you want to go to Brazil, make sure you find out which are the city with the acceptable crime rate.
So basically, Peru, Venezuela, it's kind of a no. But Brazil, yes, but depending on what city you choose to go.
It's like we did like a research because we had to, for our own safety, like Central America, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, is like they're all full of crime. So you understand, in the Paraguay, crime also. The safest where the crime is low is Chile and Argentina. So people there are very white. Also, you don't stick out if you're white. And if you're dark, it's okay. If you're dark, they don't bother you. But if you're white, you don't stick out, so you can easily hide. Because the more we enter in the end time, it's like we need to hide in open sight. In other words, people see you, but they don't see anything. But if you go in a place like Peru where everybody's brown, you really stick out. Okay, so they may follow you still. It's very dangerous here to go to a bank and get money out because they follow you. To use a lot of precautions, so it's very dangerous. Okay, but in Argentina, and Chile, and Argentina, no, they're all white, the people, and there is no crime like here. It's like basically more or less the crime you find in the West, and they're very well organized. These are two countries very well organized, whereas the rest of South America is pretty much chaotic. Like the traffic is very dangerous. The cars don't stop at the zebra crossing. They really be careful. It's very dangerous to cross on a zebra because the car don't stop, and you have to run in the zebra because those guys that don't stop at all. They expect you to just jump aside.
Talking about Peru, right?
Yeah. It's like, believe me, I literally want to take my 6 children out. I literally take a stick with me to stop the cars because it's very dangerous. And you hear people getting killed all the time here. It's amazing. They're like 200-300 years behind in many areas here. So if you come from the West, you might get a culture shock. However, in Chile and Argentina, it's not like that. And So everything is well, very, very, very well organized, with the advantage that is in South America. They have a South America mentality, which is completely different than the United States or Europe. So, which is good. Okay, and then eventually we'll talk about the housing situations.
Any other countries that you would recommend for the brethren to pray about?
Well, what can I say? Like, for example, if you go decide to go to the Philippines, it's a Christian country. If you go to Indonesia, they are Muslim. If you go to India, they're Hindus. I was in India for 2.5 years, and they're all Hindus there. And the Philippines, they are Christians. And that's a place you can consider. They have a strong influence from the Spanish. That's why they're Catholic. And the Americans were there for a long time. So Philippines is a potential place if you like that. And for many reasons, we decided not to go there. We were considering it, but then we decided not to go. We were considering, actually, Philippines, South Africa, and the South America. And then we decided South America again because here, once you learn the language, Spanish, you can go almost everywhere. Because here, everybody, all this country from Mexico all the way down to Argentina and Chile, they speak Spanish, except in Brazil, they speak Portuguese, which is very similar.
Joseph, what criteria should the brethren use in praying about a country to move to?
Well, number one is the safety. Number one. Okay, the way where are you going
so
to
just so we can save our skin or what?
Yeah, so you can save your skin.
Is that the priority?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Why?
Because now we enter in the end time. And of course, until now, like, I've been preaching the gospel for 40 years, okay? And I didn't care about where I was, this and that. But the thing is that now, with the beast coming, the microchip, it's like we have to just evangelize wherever we are. It's not anymore travel extensively wherever you want, okay? So you have to witness wherever you are.
So basically you're saying the safety is number one because of the witnessing.
Right, because like it says, either fights or runs away, leaves to fight another day. It's like Julius Caesar used to tell his soldiers, the Romans, who were famous for never retreating. See, the Romans, they had an armor in front and behind. They didn't have an armor. Because when the Romans retreated, they were supposed to, the leaders expected them to just be killed. And that's it. The Roma would never retreat. So Julius Caesar used to tell his soldier, when you... is like the first ones to die in a battle, they're not the heroes, they are the stupid idiots. Okay?
Quite blunt.
Any more quotes?
No more quotes. So, I was asking you, what are the criteria the brethren should use in praying about a country to move to? You said number one, safety, because that way we can be safe and witness for the Lord more. Any other criteria besides the safety?
Yeah, 10 issues.
Why?
Be ready to run.
So, brethren, when you pray about a country, pray about the safety of that country and buy tennis shoes.
No, but it's true. It's like either fights or runs away, leaves to fight another day. You see, like the early Christians, is like sometimes they get arrested, crucified, thrown to the lions, etc. But the other Christians didn't get arrested and everything. They would not let themselves be arrested. It's like if it happens, it happens. But they would not try to do anything to be arrested. Like when you get arrested, the other would hide. You know, they would hide in catacombs. And they're not cowards. They had to survive so they could perpetuate the message of Christ. Continue preaching the gospel, reach the unreached lost souls. I mean, even Jesus, if you read in John chapter 8, there's a Jesus went and he hid himself. Okay, Jesus was hiding all the time. The idea here is not to play the hero and to get killed as soon as possible. Not at all. It's to get killed as late as possible. And not even necessarily be killed. It's like our call is not to be martyrs. You know, Jesus didn't say going to all the world and be martyrs. The sooner they kill you, the better. Not at all. It's like we're not trying to get killed. We're trying to hide as as much as possible, as good as possible, so we can continue preach the gospel. Soon we won't be able to travel around preach the gospel. You have to preach the gospel wherever you are. That's okay. Look, Jesus never walked many kilometers, okay? Israel is a postage stamp size in the map. So today the missionaries, they go with the plane over here, with the plane over there. Maybe some of these preachers, they get their own personal jets. Maybe they haven't even witnessed to the guy living around the corner. And here they're flying to the south of the planet to evangelize a couple of churches. You understand? So we need to be ready to evangelize wherever we are, however we can. So
So besides the safety, any other criterias in the helping, to be able to help the brethren choose a country to go to?
Well, find a place you can hide, number one. Otherwise, what's the point? You see, we are entering the period, the Revelation 12, the woman in the wilderness. It's a spiritual wilderness away from the Laodicea false Christian churches, okay? The system is false. There are many Christians, sincere, stacking, like it says in John chapter 12. Many of the Jews believed in Jesus, but for fear of the Pharisees, for fear of the rulers, they didn't declare. So in every Laodicea church, which today is 99% of the churches, there is some sweet sheep. But they're just afraid. They're just are indoctrinated, brainwashed, that they have to be this religion, that religion, etc. So what we need to do, first of all, we need to pick a place where we're going to be safe. Then you need to organize how to do that. How sell everything you have and reestablish yourself in the place where you go. Besides the safety, like I said, they don't go in a place that are all blacks if you're white. If you're black, you can go to a place where they are white, like Argentina and Chile. If you're white, you should try to avoid the place where they're black, because you stick out. Okay, then the next criteria is, how are you going to survive? Like, what are you planning to do to survive? So, of course, if you're in the area where we are, we will help you with counsel and with spiritual guidance, with spiritual coaching, and we read the Bible together. That's no problem. We can give you fellowship, but we cannot support you. We cannot give you money. You understand that? We ourselves live by faith. So you have to think about how to survive. Well, the way we do is like when we don't have money, we go evangelize in the fruit and veggie markets, and we come back with a car full of fruit and veggie. That's what we do. We go to the place where they sell meat, and we come back with a bunch of meat. We distribute gospel literature, gospel Christian movies, DVDs, etc. We distribute, say, look, this is the value of the DVD, etc. If you can give a little bit more for the mission, God bless you. That's what we do. Then another way we do Acts 2:44, 45. We put our money together. So we rent a house with a garden or an apartment, depends on the situation, if it's expensive. Okay, now we are relocating, and we are organizing right now a new house with a garden because we have six children. So we share Acts 2:44, 45. We share our money. So we are a group. You know, a group can be 5, 10, 15, 20. Shouldn't be too many, because you stick out. You should try to keep in 2-3 families. You should try to keep. You should try to be around the number between 5 to 10. Because more than that, you stick out a lot. People ask, how many are you? And they don't rent your house if you are 20 people. So you should try to be 5-10 people. In other words, 2-3 families. And then find out how you're going to survive financially.
And if people don't have the faith to live basically by faith the way we do, preaching the gospel and supporting yourself, like Paul says, he who preaches the gospel shall live of the gospel. Brethren who don't have the faith for that, how should they go about it?
They have to find a way. It's according to the faith. It's like you have to find a job. Like I have a friend here that is a black guy, and in the morning he goes around in the streets selling chewing gums. And in the evening, he looks after he guards the car of a restaurant, and he makes a lot of money.
Isn't it amazing? They are lowly jobs, and the Lord still blesses him financially.
Right.
In other words, they don't need to look for doctor jobs and whatnot.
If you arrive in a refuge place, a place of refuge, and then you want to be a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, you have to go and do whatever you find. Maybe go work in a restaurant to help in the cook. If you don't know how to cook, well, help the cook. After a few months, you learn how to cook. Work as a waiter, Now, if you can sell your 2-3 families together, sell your houses, sell your lands, sell your cars. Don't bring cars over here, please. Don't bring nothing, because it's a problem. You buy locally, sell over there, buy over here. It's cheaper, and you get the local productions. It's better for the spare parts, etc. So the best would be to get together a couple of families, 2-3 families.
So basically, don't leave just you alone.
No, it's best to cooperate with somebody. Now, if you don't have nobody to cooperate with, fine. Just come you, your wife, you and a friend or whatever. You can come alone if you want. Then we'll try to give you some fellowship if we are in the area, or we'll try to put you in a, suggest to you an area where there are other brethren that you can meet them as often, as frequently as you can. If you decide to be 2-3 families, selling everything, do Acts 2:44-45, well, be careful, because sometimes the financing can generate problems. It's easier for us because we have many years of experience. We keep one bag, we put the money together, food together, so we have a lot of experience and training. With no problem for us. But for you guys that are not experienced, you might bump into problems, like Acts chapter 5 and Ananias and Sapphira. People want to share your money, but not theirs. So the one way you can do this, for example, like 2-3 families can sell whatever they have, and then one guy sells, for example, a couple of houses, another guy sells a bicycle. So you arrive in the mission field, you're in the refuge, and then a guy will have like a lot of money, the other guy has nothing. So you guys need to kind of help each other. But you have to be careful, because some people will try to steal your money and say, okay, I want to share all your money, and then take off with it. So of course, that you have to be careful for that, false brethren. So what do you do? Well, you share whatever is necessary. You know, like in our case, we are missionary 100%, we share everything. We have people on our mission, they've sold the houses and they sold whatever they had, and we put it together and we all partake. But that's missionary, full heart, 100%, like we are. We can teach you how to do that if you want.
In fact, yes, I wanted to say, dear brethren, if you want to learn how to live by faith, let us know and we will teach you, because end time is coming, the microchip is coming, when you cannot buy and sell, and you will need to learn how to live by faith, trusting the Lord for your material needs. So if you, dear brethren, want our counsel, since we, by God's grace, we know how to do it, and we have been living like this for many years, trusting the Lord for our material needs, do get in touch with us, and we will teach you how to live by faith.
Yeah, but I want to make it clear, you don't have to give us your money.
No, that's not what I mean. We will give you Bible base, you know, spiritual counsel how to do it.
We can teach you how you can do it. You can administer your finances in your house. We are not, by God's grace, we don't want to fleece the sheep, you know, get out the wolf and then send them naked to starve in the cold. We, by God's grace, we don't do that. So you keep your money, you minister your church, you minister your house.
Amen.
So it's like you have to decide, dear brethren, if you, what kind of level you want. You know, the good seeds in Matthew chapter 13, the good seeds, Matthew 13:8. The good seeds bring fruit, but sometimes it brings 30, 60, 90, 100. People choose if you want to cooperate fully like we do in our mission. Then you have to find a family or two and cooperate and share everything. But in the beginning, like I said before, you have to be careful, because you might find some wolves who just want to take off with your money. So what you share what is needed. In other words, a guy sold a house and he has money in abundance. Another guy sold nothing and he has nothing and he wants to share with you. Well, you can live together, you can help him, maybe he's a handyman. But you share what is needed. In other words, the rent for this month, the food for this month. You don't have to share the money for next year. So the guy takes off with it. In the sense, you have to be careful for brethren. Because we do the same here. We have new brethren come and join us. We don't give them the money that we have reserved for the next 2-3-4 months. So we share today. And then when people are missionary, like, for example, you, Dora, you've been with us more than 15 years. Yeah, we have no problem with it. In fact, you are responsible. So you understand, so I want to caution you, be careful not to trust the people you don't know. But that doesn't mean you're not going to trust anybody. Like, at least you should cooperate with whoever decide to cooperate to share together the expenses of this month, not the next month. Don't share your money for next month. Share the needs for this month with the brethren who work this month. Okay, one brother works outside, brings a salary. The other one doesn't go work outside, but works inside, taking care of the children, cleaning the house, cooking. That's okay. So you share your salary with the brother here who doesn't have a salary, but he works in the house as much as you work outside. So, and then one day when you decide to be missionary like we do, that's in the future, then it's different. Then other will teach you how to do it, or you learn by yourself. You reach a level, Acts 2:44, 45, when you really share everything. But that you can only do if you have experience, because you're going to find greedy wolves who just want your money. So the unity, the church, the mission, the cooperating together does not start with the money. It starts with the gospel. It starts with working together. It starts with loving one another. It starts with doing all you guys can to work together, not based on the money, believe me, because that's where the devil gets in. Is it clear? Did they come clear enough? Clear. And then step by step, one step at a time, one day at a time, with the people that you trust, as I said, you keep growing, sharing more and more.
Amen.
Okay? Day by day. You got that? Oh.
Yeah, okay, it's pretty clear. I want to ask you specifically, once the brethren relocate in a new place, how do they survive, materially, financially speaking?
Yeah, don't expect to go there and find a job as a doctor. I repeat, find a job helping a cook in a kitchen, or as a waiter in a restaurant, or working in the field, or working as a handyman, go around fixing. Like if you're a plumber, you're no problem. Everybody here, but everybody needs a plumber everywhere. So you have to find you have to invent jobs.
In other words, make jobs, brethren.
Yeah, as far as the money, you cannot cross the border with too much money if you sell a house. So you can sell the house, put everything in a bank in your name, and then when you get to the place of destination, whether it's South America or South Africa, wherever you want to go, then you open a bank, your bank account, and then you transfer your money to your new bank, and then you collect it from the place where you are. So when you open before leaving, you have to investigate in your bank that you say, yeah, I'm planning to do this. I'm going to travel up and down. You can say up and down. You need to say I'm fleeing for a new world order. Just say traveling up and down, I'm going to go to whatever, such a country. And I need to go there, open a bank account. How do I move the money there? And they will teach you through internet, or there are ways to move your money around. And they understand, so you don't cross the border with too much money in your pocket, okay? And that's it. In case you decide to invest in gold, if you have any money for that, we don't have much for sure. But then I suggest you buy coins, golden coins, because those are easy to commercialize, okay? And through the borders, you can just smuggle that with coins, just any coins, just mix them together. They look like change, okay? And you spread them with your family, okay? And I remember one time we had three of those, and we just kept it together with the change. So it depends, that's a good way, because that goes up all the time. Then what else? And then when you reach a place like, I don't know, Argentina or Chile, personally I don't like Chile so much because it's a very, very seismic and earthquake, and it's a flat land, and it's for tsunamis and earthquakes. That's why I chose Argentina in my case. And we are in the north, okay, in the north. And so what else? I think I covered everything now.
So once they arrive there, you're saying financially to just be ready to have a lowly job. These brethren will teach us, satisfaction with little.
Yeah, make sure you have enough money to start. So like, for example, in Argentina, there is a big problem that you cannot rent a house if you don't have somebody has to give you a guarantee. Somebody in Argentina has to give you a guarantee that if you don't pay the rent, they pay. So they want the documents, legalized documents, that somebody knows you, that you're going to pay the rent if you don't pay, and that's very hard to get. Nobody knows you, and nobody, very, very hard. We didn't find that. So we prayed, and the Lord gave us revelations. So the solution we found is this. Sorry, I have a little cough today, and I have to keep my voice a little down. God bless you. So anyway, I was saying, the Lord gave us a revelation how to rent houses in Argentina without this problem of the guarantee, which We looked for a very, very long time, but we just couldn't find. There are people who sell the guarantees, but they're all fake. They just want to steal your money. And so anyway, the Lord gave us a revelation how to do it, and the revelation is this. We put some money in a notary, like 3 months, about 3 months rent we're offering. You can offer more if you want. We offer the landlords like 3 months rent. For example, the rent is $500 a month. Okay, the rent, that's what the rent are. They're from $500 to $700 for a house. That's more or less a house with a garden. An apartment is probably half the price. So anyway, the revelation was this. So we offer the landlords 3 months rent, 3 months worth of rent. Like in a rent of $500 a month, it would be $1,500. We deposited in a notary, okay, with an agreement between the tenants and the owner of the house. That's the first, as soon as the tenants stop paying the rent, automatically the notary legally gives this money, 3 months rent, to the owner as a fine, as a reward. The owner really liked it. They loved it. And that opened the door to rent houses everywhere. We offer 3 months and it works. Sometimes maybe you have to offer 4 months or whatever. We were willing to go up to 6 months, but with 3 months they were happy. So you understand is it clear?
Yes. I want to share something. We actually were banging our heads against this guarantee for a long time and we didn't know what to do. And one day we decided to fast and pray and get on our knees, and the Lord spoke to us about this 3 months guarantee. So I want to encourage you, brethren, when you are up against a difficulty, get on your knees. Get on your knees, fast and pray if needed, and the Lord will give you practical revelation. I mean, it's not written in the Bible, give 3 months guarantee when you rent a house in Argentina.
The Holy Spirit.
But the Holy Spirit gave us practical revelation how to go about it. So brethren, we have the Holy Spirit. Get on your knees, speak in tongues, or don't speak in tongues, whatever. And that's the way the Lord spoke to us. That's why I wanted to share this little testimony. The Lord has practical counsel and answers for each one of us.
Okay, and when you rent a house, investigate if it's a good area, a bad area. You get a place which is not so safe. And but most area, like for example, in the case of Argentina, they are safe. They're not like Peru, they're very dangerous. In general, dangerous. In Argentina, for example, in general, they are safe. So, if you are, depends where you are. If you are in South Africa, in Pretoria, you have to investigate the area where it is safe. Number one priority. Then, of course, check your price. Don't go to the most expensive. Don't go to the cheapest. So find something in between. Don't get a rent that is too high, then you have to get a headache every month. Try to get not too cheap, but not too expensive. Okay, and that's about it about the house.
Amen. You were saying earlier something about, I would like to catch up, and if you can expand more about moving single, like living single as a person or living with more people. I would like you to expand a little more on that.
Okay. So I suggest, of course, if you're single, move single. If you're a couple, move as a couple. If you can, it's nice to move as a tribe. Like if you have a father, a mother, a sister, this and that. Anybody who is willing to travel, they should just sell everything and travel. Okay, and so you can help each other. The young can help the old. A couple of mothers can work on everybody's children. The fathers or whatever, father or mother, they go out and work and bring the money in. If you have extra money, you can invest in something. You can buy cattle, animals, you can buy and sell animals, whatever, invest in something. Now, personally, in my case, I'm a missionary, and I learned that by experience, I don't like buying houses and lands, because when the persecution comes, it's difficult to sell. So usually I prefer to buy things which I can move around. Like I said, if I want to invest, things we can put in your pocket, you know. For example, cattle is something, like you can buy a few cows, 1, 2, 3, 10, 10, 20, whatever you can afford, invest it, and that's very easy. If you have to move, you can put your cows in a truck and move it somewhere else, or just sell them. It's very easy to sell cattle, very difficult to sell a piece of land or a house, because sometimes it takes a year to sell a house. But the cattle, they sell it week by week. You know, it's like selling fruit and veggie. They just go like that. So that's another suggestion, what to do. Don't keep money in paper, because paper is going to devalue any time. Don't keep, try to invest in something, but something that you can move it, investigate it. But if you write to us, we give you more counsel.
Amen. Amen. So your suggestion is, if you can move as a tribe, dear brethren.
Yeah, try to move the idea would be 2-3 families together, because also for security, you know, like when they pioneered the Far West in the United States, they were traveling in carts. They used to put the carts in circles, so, you know, like you can see that in the movies, the Indians were attacking them, they had to go around, and they could defend themselves pretty easily. Remember those old movies, those American movies, you used to watch them all the time in Europe. And, well, that's the idea. It's like move 2-3 families so you can camp together. I mean, the ideal for me would be 2-3 families, anywhere around 10 people. And maybe you can find like 2 villas put together. And have 2, 3, 4 families. Okay, 15 people cooperating together. Cooking together, cooking, helping. A person is sick, everybody gives a hand. A guy is without money, everybody helps. We believe in miraculous healing, so we thank God we go very little to the hospitals.
By the way, that's my next question. Wow. Actually, somebody wrote us that they have health problems. How, and they don't want to take the microchip, and they do want to move out of the U.S., but how are they going to survive without a health insurance?
No, listen. Listen, if you're sick, you phone us. We pray you over the phone. And usually people who phone us, they usually get healed on the phone, okay? So it's been now about 10 years that the Lord has just blessed us. We do healing by laying on our hands. We anoint people. Even on the phone, we do even deliverance from demonic oppressions and healing. If you're sick, give us a phone call. Well, sweet daughter here, usually you organize the phone calls. You make
yes.
an appointment. And yeah, you just have to give me like at least a couple of days warning, because sometimes I'm not here or right there. But I don't know. I think 9 out of 10 the people go healed on the phone, right?
Amen. Yes, it's true.
Yeah, but the most important thing that the Lord has shown us is that we don't like I was frustrated when I used to watch Benny Hinn and those guys doing healing. I say, how in the world do I do? Benny Hinn is not here around the corner.
Yeah, in fact, if somebody cannot phone us, what do they do?
And I was jealous. Like, my gosh, how do I do this? So it's like about 10 years ago, almost we began seeing people getting healed on the spot from cancer problems, etc. And I always, because I've been a missionary most of my life, and I desire not to make myself the mediator, the intercessor, but God always spoken to me to make the people around me better than I am. And like Jesus said in John 14:12, greater works than this shall he do. So a real man of God is not jealous other people doing his job. A real man of God will train the people around him to do better than him. So basically we have like a little school in our mission to teach people how to do healing. And how to do miraculous healing. We have teaching, we have recording, all kinds of stuff, to teach you how you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why? Because if you have Jesus, if you have the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is just don't doubt, don't believe those false prophets who say God gives you sickness because he loves you so much, and because God wants to teach you lesson, give a cancer to your newborn baby, he's going to die next week. That's the devil, that's... Jesus never went on to all the... I mean, do you ever see Jesus in the Bible distributing sicknesses so they could learn a lesson? I mean, I don't see that. I mean, you have to detach. What's stopping miracles in the churches today is false doctrines. Because if you base your faith on a false doctrine, you know, look what happened to the Pharisees. Okay, they are, because of false doctrines, they crucify Jesus. Because of false doctrines, the devil is crucifying most of the Christians on the crosses of sickness. So the main thing, one of the main things for me personally, is more important, more priority to teach you guys how you can do healing than to actually heal you. But nevertheless, if you need a healing phone, by God's grace and in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the power and the dynamis that we have received, in the name of the name of Jesus, you are healed. By His stripes you are healed, by His blood you are healed, and you're not going to be healed today. You were healed from the cross 2,000 years ago. Today we just give you the official announcement that you've been healed. Only your dummy mind, they didn't know, your carnal mind didn't know. The devil told you were not healed, you were sick. So stop believing that. Start believing in the word, and that's it. And then you'll see healing materialize. A good scripture, 1 Peter 2:24 says, "By His stripes we were healed." It doesn't say we are healed. We were healed 2,000 years ago. You understand?
Amen. So, brethren, that should take care of all your worries of the health issues.
So don't worry about Mark of the Beast to buy medicines, okay? Just rebuke the devil, lay hands on the sick. Okay, so some of this guy preaching this false doctrine, I feel like laying my hands on them in a different way.
Amen. Brother Joseph, what priority would you counsel the brethren to put on this moving, you know, on the fact of moving out?
Well, listen, whenever they decide to move, it will always be too late. It will always be late. Not too late, I hope, but late. Because today is 10 times more difficult than a few years ago. And the longer you wait, the more difficult it gets, because the more the devil gets organized. Now, I understand that in March 2013, they want to put a massive microchip on the people in order to get the medicines. It's going to get worse and worse. Soon it's going to be illegal not to have it. It's going to be difficult to even sell if you want to sell a toothpick. You need to hurry up. Now, sell all that you can. Don't plan to go back. You will not go back. That's hell on earth. Get out. And then top priority, just sell and just get out. Don't worry about carrying so much luggage. Just take your most important stuff. Forsake all your junk. Whatever you cannot sell, give it to some missionaries. Okay, and just sell the rest and goodbye. And just leave as soon as possible. Don't waste time. Get on your knees. Ask the Lord a specific question. Lord, when do you want me to leave? The Lord says, the Lord tells you what He told me as soon as possible. Then write it down so the devil doesn't change it. And then do it. Just hurry up. Push. Go. Get up. You try to find somebody around you who wants to travel with you. Otherwise, just get out. Because the longer you wait, the more difficult it gets. Don't you see? I mean, don't you remember 1, 2, 3 years ago how much easier would have been? And the longer you wait, the more difficult it gets.
Amen. So Brother Joseph is saying top priority, brethren. And I know it's not easy to get out and relocate, but the chapter that comes to my mind is Hebrews 11, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But it says that we are pilgrims and strangers, and it talks about the patriarchs who by faith, Abraham, moved out. And it has come to that, brethren. Let us pray to have the faith to do that. Any closing words, Brother Joseph?
Yes, since the beginning of time, all of God's children have been moving around all the time. You see, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were living in tents. They didn't grow roots, because you see, like Lot. Lot was a guy who grew roots. He's like, he probably felt that he was in a hell of a mess, of a place. But, you know, when you buy a house, you think you own the house, but the house owns you. And a job, and medicines, and you need this. And forget it. Look, if you have to go get a microchip to get medicine, I think I prefer to die. Like, if I felt the faith to be healed, great. Otherwise, let me go to heaven. Who wants to spend one more day in this valley of tears, of sadness, of sorrows here? So, just don't grow roots. Look, study the story of Abraham and Lot. Amen. So, just, that's why Abraham, study well the story of Abraham, live in tents. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Don't buy houses. Even the next place you go, don't buy houses. Buy rent a cheap rent that you think you can afford. Maybe make sure there's some land around if it's possible, so you can bring some caravans. See, in South America, they don't use caravans, but in Argentina, they do. with caravans, you can bring a caravan or two, quotes, in quotes, for vacation. In reality, that can be a couple of extra bedrooms for one or two families who may want to come down and join you. Look, if you're in the area where we are, we'd be happy to give you fellowship, love, guidance, sing together. We'll take communion together. You're welcome in our mission church. You're welcome to whatever we have.
In what sense they're welcome to our mission church?
Spiritually. Sorry, we're going to give you money. That's what you mean.
No, I want you to clarify.
Okay. No, we cannot give you. People ask, people annoy you. It's like we cannot give you money. That we can sometimes we can share a meal together. Unless you want to be part of our church, then it's a different story. Then you eat what we eat, you know, that's different.
Like Brother Joseph said, we are open to help you, fellowship, counsel you.
Yeah, what we do, what we can do, we will. What we can't, we'll teach you to do without.
Amen. Amen. Anything else, Brother Joseph, in closing?
Well, a little prayer. Lord Jesus. Bless this dear brother who want to get out of Babylon, the whore. Lord Jesus, help them to know that it's easy. Your Holy Spirit is going to be with them. Much better out of the Babylon, the hell of Babylon. You're going to bless and protect them than inside Babylon, where the devil is so much more in control. Lord Jesus, help them not to be afraid. Lord, I remember the first time, Lord, when I dropped out and forsook all. It was 1973. Lord Jesus, I forsook all. I forsook every my hippie days. I forsook all my girls, all my marijuana and everything. You provided for me a million times better than before. Lord Jesus Christ, I love you. Teach these brethren and help them to get on their knees and not get up until they hear your voice, what to do, and then do it. Not listen to the sirens, beautiful sirens of the devil offering them a better alternative than Christ. Help them not to listen to their Lot's wife, the one that loved Sodom, the look back, Lord Jesus. Help them to separate, Jesus. Matthew 10:34 says, I came to bring sword and division, divide families from Abraham over here, Lot's over there. Lord Jesus, help this brother not to be afraid, Lord Jesus, not to grow roots in their Sodoms, but to forsake Sodom. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, help them to get on their knees, get filled with the Holy Spirit of power, and to remember that you are giving us a spirit of love, of power, not of fear. Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
A little PS. Pray, brethren, to receive the Holy Spirit. A spirit that will give you power and wisdom and gifts of the Spirit, how to overcome the devil, how to know God's guidance, how to hear His voice. You can do it by yourself according to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 from 9 until 13. Or if you want, I always lay hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit. And most of the time they do when they are sincere. I can even pray with you on the phone if you want to receive the Holy Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, you cannot do without. I doubt you'll go very far without the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, stop everything, get desperate, and pray all the time, desperately for the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, you will receive Him. Amen and amen.
God bless you, Brother Joseph.
God bless you.
Nice to be here with you again, ready to answer some questions for some brethren.